Reading is found from 1 Samuel chapter 1, 9 through 20. And again, after reading, I'll finish with the phrase, "The word of the Lord," and invite your congregation to respond, "Praise be to God." Verse 9. After they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorposts of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head." As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli took her to be a drunken woman, and Eli said to her, "How long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you." But Hannah answered, "No, my lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation." Then Eli answered, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him." And she said, "Let your servant find favor in your eyes." Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. They rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. And she called his name Samuel, for she said, "I have asked for him from the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. I can invite those that require childminding. You can exit to the nursery. Today's sermon is titled "Hannah, the Woman Who Waited" by Fritz.
Did that work? Okay, great. We have connection today. Great. Well, good morning, Burnaby Pacific Grace. How are you guys today? It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you, worship team, for that spirited worship. It really ministered to my heart. Well, as you guys know, today is Mother's Day, and I'm sure many of you are doing something, you know, hopefully something special for your mom. You know, maybe take her out to lunch or dinner. Maybe you've already done that yesterday or you're delaying it. Maybe buy her flowers. Or maybe just, you know, give her a nice big fat hug, right? So how many of you out here are celebrating Mother's Day today? Raise your hands. Yeah, you're good kids. In fact, you're doing something that is biblical because the fifth commandment tells us to honor our parents. Well, today's message is entitled "Hannah, the Woman Who Waited," and it's a beautiful story about a woman of many virtues, a mother worth honoring. Hannah was the mother of Samuel, Israel's greatest judge, and she was a woman that was fervent in worship and dedicated to prayer. Most of all, Hannah was an example of a woman who waited on the Lord. So let me bring you up to speed on Hannah's story, since we only read a portion of it today. So our story begins in a town 25 miles north of Jerusalem called Shiloh. You see, the tabernacle was situated there, and this is where Joshua had set it up shortly after crossing the River Jordan. Shiloh was the center of worship. And here, the current high priest, his name was Eli, was in office, along with his wicked sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Now, Eli's term as high priest was a disaster, as he did not follow God as his predecessors Aaron and Eleazar did. You see, Eli was weak, and so were his two sons. And as a result, the tabernacle was losing all its respect as a place of a holy place. And as you can imagine, God was displeased with the state of the priesthood and was looking for another leader. Now, during the same time lived the family of Elkanah. Elkanah was a Levite from the hill of country of Ephraim, and he had two wives. First wife's name was Peninnah, and the second was Hannah. Peninnah bore children for Elkanah, while Hannah could not, as the Lord had closed her wombs, quote unquote. This would prove to be a source of bitter rivalry between the two women. And on an occasion where they actually visited the tabernacle at Shiloh, Hannah prayed to the Lord for a son, vowing to dedicate him to God as a Nazarite. Her prayer was so full of anguish and pain and suffering that her face and her actions showed it. It seemed so strange to the high priest Eli, who was standing there just observing her, that he thought Hannah was drunk and proceeded to rebuke her. Hannah explained her story of waiting to bear children for her husband Elkanah. Oh, how she had wanted a baby. Her friends had babies, lots of them probably, but she had none. Not a single one. And it just didn't seem fair. She had cried and cried until she could cry no more. And Hannah prayed again and again, and nothing had happened. She had come to the tabernacle once again to plead with God to give her a child, and in return, she would give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. After having heard Hannah's plight, Eli prayed and spoke a blessing upon her. And in time, God answered Hannah's prayer. She gave birth to a son and called him Samuel, which means asked of God. And after taking care of him up to the age of weaning, Hannah kept her promise and brought Samuel to the tabernacle and presented him to Eli. You see, Samuel would later become the house of Eli's successor and also the house of Eli's judge. But in contrast to the high priest Eli, Samuel was a faithful high priest who would obey God's commandments and restore proper worship to God Almighty. God provided a savior in Samuel to his people Israel, and he used Hannah as an example of faith. This was a faith that required patience. This is a faith that required perseverance. This was a faith that required waiting on him. Brothers and sisters, you know, isn't it hard waiting? Many times we want things to happen and we want them to happen right now, this instant. Have you ever noticed that we live in a world where almost everything is instant? Today we live in a society that practices instant gratification. Instant gratification. When people make purchases at the mall, items are bought with credit card because we have credit cards, so that's instant payment. If you ever go shopping for a car, and a salesman gets you to check out the car and gets you to drive off in the car that day, that's pretty much instant purchase, right? How about food? Many of us know this package, right? We love instant noodles, right? As an Asian people, a late night snack, morning breakfast, what have you. But it's instant as long as you've got the hot water, right? People eat at fast food, you know, like McDonald's. Maybe some of you need a caffeine boost in the morning. You mix your coffee. That's instant as well. Many of you own smartphones, right? So you have an Android phone or an iPhone, and you have many apps installed. Maybe you're familiar with an app like Instagram, an instant picture that you can send. And, you know, other ones like Facebook, Twitter, and Vine, where you can basically inform who's following you instantly. Isn't that incredible technology we have today? It's crazy. Back when I was growing up, all we had were, well, we had Polaroid Instamatic cameras, but we never had Instagram, right? Today, we live in this society that is defined by instant gratification. If we want something, I'll get it, and I'll get it now. You guys know what this building is? You see the little symbol, the apple? Many of us want stuff. They want the latest and greatest, and they'll be willing to wait in line for it to get their brand new shiny iPhone. Is it 6 next, right? How many of you guys really like to wait? Raise your hands. Yes, Kirsty likes to wait. I'm sorry, Stephanie. You know, we're creatures that don't like to wait, if we're honest with each other. I hate waiting. I hate waiting in line during rush hour in Vancouver. I hate lineups at the U.S. border. I even hate waiting in lineups for rides at Disneyland. I'd rather get those fast passes if they still have them. I especially hate it when my computer loads or is processing something and it takes its own sweet time. And you see the symbol like this. It's so annoying. When I want something, I want it now. You know, as Christians, many of us feel this. Many times this creeps into our way of thinking, doesn't it? God, I'm praying that you give me this or that. And by the way, I need it now. How do we get ourselves out of this mentality of instant gratification? And is there a benefit to actually waiting? Well, studies show that there are actual benefits for waiting. And one of the more famous ones is called the marshmallow test. Now, how many of you heard of the marshmallow test? Yeah, oh, good. So maybe you've watched the TED.com video on this. It's a fairly funny video, very interesting. And if you get a chance to watch it, I encourage you to watch it online. I won't have time to share that with you now, but basically it's a guy whose name was Joachim DePoza, and he shares his landmark experience on delayed gratification. Basically, practicing this delayed gratification can predict future success. So it seems science, you know, research advocates waiting in order to have a successful future. But you know what? So does the Word of God. Scripture has much to say about waiting. We know that patience is a fruit of the Spirit. In fact, there are numerous Spirit-filled men and women who have waited on the Lord. And today, we read about Hannah and her story of waiting. What is waiting on the Lord? How do we define this? Waiting on the Lord is trusting, hoping, and expecting that Almighty God will answer your prayers and see you through a situation. Now, as we recall Hannah's story, we see a woman who trusted in her God. She's a woman that hoped that God would see her broken heart and feel her pain. And so Hannah knew that her God would do anything and could do anything. And she waited expectantly for her God to hear her pleas each time she prayed. You see, Hannah not only knew how to wait on the Lord, but she also knew how to wait for the Lord. And to have this kind of patience, A person needs to be so in tune with the creator of the universe and constantly connected, as it were, to God. What does being in tune with God look like? It means regular prayer and conversation with God. It means surrender and submission to his will. It means learning to be still and to be able to listen for his voice. And we sang that earlier with the worship team leading about being still and knowing he's God. David, the psalmist, said this in Psalm 37, verse 7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. But why should we wait on the Lord? Why doesn't God just give us things now? Now, sometimes he does, right? But other times there is a delay or even an outright no. If you're only able to see what was occurring behind the curtains, behind the scenes, you know, then you would understand the reason behind the delay or the no. You know, I'm sure most of you are familiar with the story of Job. Job knew nothing of the spiritual warfare going on between God and Satan. Yet, Job chose to remain faithful and wait for his God to save him. Why should we wait? Perhaps God is arranging circumstances. Today's passage illustrates how God uses a faithful woman to deliver his people from corrupt religious leadership. God was the one that closed Hannah's wombs, but he was also the one who miraculously opened it so that the judge of Israel could be born. I want to give you another example of scripture where this is so true in arranging circumstances. Do you remember the story of Jericho, the walls of Jericho? God spoke to Joshua, telling him to march around the city once every day for 6 days with the seven priests carrying ram horns in front of the ark. And then on the seventh day, they were to march around the city seven times, and the priests were to blow their ram's horns. And Joshua ordered the people to shout. The walls of the city collapsed, and the Israelites were able to charge straight into the city. The city was completely destroyed, and every man, woman, and child, animal in it, were killed by Joshua's army as an offering to God. Now, why didn't God just tell the Israelites to attack on the first day? You see, God was working on two groups of people at this time. The first group, he was building up faith of his people. And in the second group, he was destroying the confidence of the people of Jericho. If you ask any soldier, he will tell you that the worst part of war is waiting to go into battle. And by the seventh day, by the time that day came, the people of Jericho were mentally and emotionally unprepared for what was about to happen. So just like in Hannah and the nation of Israel's case, God is working out situations in your life that you don't even know about. Sometimes you can see what's happening, but other times you can't. You may never know why until you get to heaven and ask God himself. Scripture says God is working behind the scenes. In Isaiah, it says, since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. So God is arranging circumstances. God could be purifying our motives Are we spiritually ready? What were Hannah's motives for having a child? To gain favor with her husband Elkanah, most likely. You know, during a period of waiting, our hearts are being cleansed. While waiting and praying for a promotion at work, perhaps, we have time to think through about our motives. Why do we really want this promotion at work? Do we want the promotion to get more money? Do we want it so others will think we're more powerful? Or could it be that we want the promotion so that we have a greater platform to serve the Lord? If we allow God to sift through our motives, the truth will surface, whether it's good or bad. And it's amazing that we learn about ourselves through this waiting period. And it's very likely Hannah learned something about herself as well. So purifying our motives. God could be teaching us to rely on Him. Sometimes we don't, you know, sometimes we think we don't need God in all our areas of our lives. We say something like, "That's okay, God. I've got this one. Don't need your help, okay? I'm fine." You know, the reality of Hannah's story, Hannah needed to rely on divine intervention to give her a child. You know, I can relate to Hannah's story. Tracy and I can. We went through a situation of waiting for a child. Been married. Is it? we got married in 1998. So we had married quite some time before we had a child, and it was something at first, you know, in our first, you know, 6 or 7 years of marriage, that we were just, you know, whatever, you know, as the Lord wills, you know, we'll have a kid. But as you see, you know, those around you having kids, you start to think, okay, maybe we get a little bit more serious about this and planning a family. And there was a point where it seemed like there's no answer from God. Nothing that, you know, that we're gonna have a kid. And so we were okay with that. You know, we left that to God, and it gave us a heart, because we knew some parents that had adopted. It gave us a heart to look into adoption. And so a funny thing happened. We had a kid during that time that we were looking for an adopted daughter or son. And so God was working us, and He was teaching us to rely on Him during that time. And we praise God, because Jax is definitely a miracle in our lives. Today, the truth is, if we rely on Him in all areas and not our own strength, we will receive blessing that goes beyond our imaginations. Why wait? Maybe God is protecting us from unseen danger. Maybe God is steering you away from great danger that could be physical, could be mental, could be emotional, and it's taking time to get around it. Maybe you can't handle that obstacle yet because you're not spiritually mature. God knew what was best for Hannah in her situation, and He knows what's best for yours. Maybe God is preparing us through this time of waiting to impact others. You know, believe it or not, when you're going through a time, a long period of waiting, people are watching you. Your non-churched friends and family are seeing how you react during this time of crisis. Do people see your faith shine through this waiting period? And when people see your perseverance, this is what's going to happen. Your Heavenly Father will be glorified, and people will be drawn to Him. Hannah was this living miracle to her husband, and I guess to her immediate circle of friends, influences. Eli must have been astonished by this woman's faith during a time when the rest of the nation of Israel was straying from God. Her offspring, Samuel, would have an impact because he would later become Israel's greatest judge, this great prophet of God, this great influential advisor to the first kings of Israel. Maybe God is preparing us to impact others. The thing we have to also realize during this waiting period, and why we should wait, is God's timing is perfect. There's a time for everything. He makes all things beautiful in His time. And I loved singing that song today, "In His Time." Just reminded me of one of the first songs we used to sing in church. And it is a meaningful song. And it also reminds me of the passage in Ecclesiastes, talking about there's a time for everything, a season for every activity under the sun, a time to be born, time to die, time to plant, time to uproot, etc., etc. But Ecclesiastes says this: He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Great theologian Charles Spurgeon said this: "Time is nothing to Him. Let it be nothing to thee. God is worth waiting for. He's never before His time. He's never too late." God's time is perfect, and He timed it perfectly for Hannah to bear Samuel into the world. So why wait? There's many reasons too. But how do we wait? Maybe you're saying, "Fritz, I'm not a patient person. I've heard of it being a fruit of the Spirit, but how do I get this patience part of the fruit of the Spirit?" Maybe you're asking, "God, help me learn patience and do it for me now." Be careful what you ask God. Because when you ask for something like patience, 9 times out of 10, He'll put you through a situation that helps you learn how to be patient. Waiting on the Lord is not going to be easy. You're bound to experience pain, suffering, even frustration, just as Hannah did. King David, many times in his Psalms, groaned, "How long? How long?" You may even receive silence on God's part, and you'll ask, "God, have you even been listening to me?" This is a time when don't hold back on God, on what you're feeling. Just as Hannah didn't hold back, just as King David expressed his emotion in the Psalms, just bring those emotions before God. How do we wait? We wait with courage. Psalm 37 says, "Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away." It took a lot of courage for Hannah to face her husband. It took courage to face the other wife, Peninnah, even to face Peninnah's children. This is a constant reminder of her own troubles. You know, she could very well have run away from this whole situation, even to the extreme of committing suicide. We need to resist this temptation and ignore negative peer pressure and stand firm against fear of failure. Waiting for God often takes courage, especially when there's this pressure to act. But if you're not careful, you might stop listening to the Lord and follow the advice of others, advice that is probably worldly. I encourage you, brothers and sisters, keep your ears attuned to the voice of Almighty God, and you won't go wrong. We need to have faith. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Trust in the Lord. Trust Him. Now, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Hannah trusted that our Father knew what was best. Again, sometimes we see things happening and sometimes everything seems silent. But never forget, God is there for those that love His children. For those that love Him, that's His children. Just remember this also, that your Father wants the absolute best for you. In the Gospel of Luke, it says, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" You know, at one point in my life, I didn't really know what this verse meant, what this verse really meant, until Jax was born. Then I really understood it. You know, I want the best for my child. I want to give him good gifts. Sometimes Tracy and I think we're spoiling him with all, you know, the toys that he has. But again, there are times that we have to tell him, no, no, you can't have this such and such object or this toy. And you'll choke yourself or you'll hurt yourself. Sometimes what I'm asking from God, my desire, may be close to His will, and I may not exactly get what I asked for. In this situation, can you say, God, I want what you want. No matter what I'm asking for, I want your perfect will in my life. Meditate on God's word, as this will increase your faith and remove doubt and anxiety. Learn to listen to Him. Take time to be quiet and look for circumstances to see what's happening. There will be peace at a point in your life when you do this. And when you have that peace will rule your heart when God gives you His answer. God doesn't promise to give us everything that we want, because ultimately He knows what's best for us. And from a human standpoint, He usually does things in a totally different way than we expect. But as we trust Him more, we'll discover that His approach isn't so strange after all. And we live in harmony with God's will. His timing will start to make sense in our lives. In waiting, we have to exercise patience. Sometimes we set our own agenda and don't allow God to work in our lives. Are you willing to remain in your current position until you receive a clear divine direction, just as Hannah did? Pausing for clarity from God doesn't mean that you disengage and allow circumstances to fall apart all around you. Waiting upon the Lord is a deliberate decision that requires patience. And finally, we wait with humility. When a person has a lot of pride, you'll notice this. They tend to disobey God. I'll say that again. When a person has a lot of pride, they tend to disobey God. I've got a better plan than God, or I worry too much about how other people think, so I'll get it done my way. To wait for the Lord, you must be convinced of your need for Him. Submission to His divine will require humility. You can't just charge ahead with your own plans and at the same time be fully surrendered to God. You know, as we talked about earlier, practice delayed gratification. There's success in it, and you'll receive blessing if you do this. And so as I conclude today's message, I'd like to ask yourself these questions. What in your life are you waiting for? Are you being still before the Lord and waiting patiently for Him, just as Hannah did? Some of you may be waiting to hear back from a university or college that you applied to. You're waiting, checking your mailbox, checking email every day in hopes of some sort of reply, right? It's getting stressful now, isn't it? Your friends, they're all knowing what school they're going to be going to in the fall. And you're asking yourself, what am I going to do? How am I supposed to be going to school? How do I get accepted to someplace in the fall? Be still and wait on the Lord. Some of you have been praying for the salvation of a loved one, maybe a family member or a close friend. Why is it taking so long, Lord? I've been praying for the last few months, maybe even the last few years. Nothing is happening. Be still, brothers and sisters, and wait on the Lord. Some of you may be praying for someone with an illness, or maybe you yourself are going through some health issues. God, why won't you heal me? Why are you allowing this pain in my life? Be still and wait on the Lord. And some of you are going through some serious relationship struggles. You and your spouse don't see eye to eye on things lately. Maybe you resent your parents not giving you freedom or respecting your independence. Maybe you absolutely hate your know-it-all older sister or brother. Maybe you've recently broken up with your boyfriend or girlfriend and things are just awkward. You've given this problem to God, but the situation just seems to be getting worse. What am I going to do about this? Be still and wait on the Lord. You know, there are some common reactions that we can have during this waiting. We can choose to maybe manipulate our circumstances, you know, sort of change the game a bit to suit our own needs and our own timing. During this time of waiting, we can walk away from God at any point and choose just not to wait. But I want to warn you of the consequences. Number one, you'll experience disappointment. Number two, you are bound to step outside of God's will. Number three, you're going to miss out on God's best for you. And number four, you'll bring hurt, pressure, and suffering upon yourself. If you wait on the Lord, you will see God's work and then reap divine reward. Tremendous blessing awaits those who wait. I just want to leave you with a few scriptural promises. Let's read this together. Ready, begin. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. He puts a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. My soul, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from him. He is my rock and salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. In this last verse, do not say, I will repay evil. Wait for the Lord, and he will save you. God is loading blessings for you. Please wait. Hannah was once a woman who couldn't be a mother, but she waited for God, and then she became one. Brothers and sisters, wait for your blessing. And I'd like to call on the worship team to lead us in the song of response. And I'll just pray for us at this time. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for you. We know you are in our midst today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching us about waiting on you. Father, we just want to give ourselves to you, not rely on our own strength, but Father, rely on your power. Thank you for loving us and watching over us, Lord, as we wait. As we wait through trials, as we wait through difficult situations in our lives, you ask us to trust you. And Father, may we just submit to you in this area. Father, thank you for your word that we were able to look into today. Thank you for the example of Hannah, this beautiful story of a mother who waited. And Father, just as we celebrate with our mothers today, may we just encourage them to wait for you as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.